Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, baby. It is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft podcast as we get closer and closer to week one of the college football season. He's the star of the show, Fran Duffy, the scouting and video guru for the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champs. Check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter, former NFL offensive lineman. I love college football. I love the draft. And I love breaking down the top prospects. And if you are looking for a place to make your online wagers on college football this year, head to betonline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. We will be joined today by Eric Galco, who does a terrific job for Optimum Scouting. And it is ACC Day, Fran, which means a lot of Clemson D linemen.
Yeah, we are certainly going to be talking about that Clemson D-line today, but it's not just that group because there's a few talented teams in this conference once again this year. There's talent in the trenches, the skill positions. There's a lot of really interesting prospects, and as I continue to do more work on them, it is a pretty good group overall, so I'm excited to talk to Eric.
Awesome. Let's dive right into it.
Best available interview.
Eric, very fired up to have you on the show again. I think a lot of people know about your work at Optimum Scouting. That's your Twitter handle, at Optimum Scouting. We want to get your thoughts on the ACC today. I know you got a bunch of stuff going on, though, for us. So before we even get into your thoughts on some of the top players, take us through all the things you got going right now.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a long time, but I appreciate it. But yeah, things are moving up from scouting. You know, a big part of what I do is kind of off internet work and consulting across the football world. So that's always my passion. But this year, hired an editor for OptimumScouting.com. A lot of really cool stuff there. It's not going to be an NFL draft website, but more of a resource for people throughout the industry. And I've been poking and prodding NFL scouts and agents and, hey, what do you really care about content wise? So that's our audience. I hope fans come, but it's a busy time, even though it's the off season. Usually when the season starts, things get a little more regimented on my end, but I'm excited for everything to get rolling here, especially as I talk about some college football, because it's been 8 months of waiting for all these guys to come back, especially Clemson, when all their guys come back last year. It's a loaded conference in the ACC.
Absolutely. So before we get to the Clemson guys, though, I did want to ask you, because I've heard, you know, varying reports, I guess, about Ryan Finley at NC State. Of course, you know, we're always going to ask about quarterbacks, because of the nature of the position. I want to get your thoughts on the kid from NC State.
Yeah, I had the privilege of seeing him, I think, twice this year play. And, you know, kind of at first glance, I saw a guy, I'm like, yes, he's an NFL quarterback, probably a backup, probably a guy who's going to fit, be a mid-round guy. And the more I've talked to, especially quarterback coaches, private quarterback coaches, kind of ask them, because, you know, quarterbacks are something that, hey, I've been doing this a long time, but you can never know enough about evaluating quarterbacks, so I would kind of defer a little bit, especially in the preseason. And I think what they kind of continuously say is that Finley's ability to throw off balance, to throw on the perimeter, and to throw with touch on the outside is what every NFL team covets in a quarterback. And, you know, a lot of great scouts on the ground said this about Baker Mayfield, about, hey, it's not necessarily about arm talent. Arm talent is just one of many things we want to consider. But the ability to be creative, to work off balance, and to finish on the outside are three things that I think are at the top of Ryan Finley's scouting report. So, well, I think he is a bit limited. I think he is a bit, still timing-based and anticipation-based, and needs kind of the offense to go through him a little bit and not, you know, let him do on his own thing the way I think guys like Justin Herbert can do a really good job of when they are forced off balance. But I am the way Finley's able to play and really finish on the outside. I think it was the Louisville game that he had three or four throws in the second half that were, you know, didn't look sexy, but they were on time, on target, and with great touch. So I think he's a guy that I wouldn't say has first-round talent, but I wouldn't be surprised either if in a few months teams are talking themselves into saying, hey, this guy might be a quarterback we can build around.
Well, I think a lot of people think that they can build around the guys that Clemson has on their D-line. You know, if you had to stand on the table for one of them Eric, is there a guy out of that group that you really feel strongly about?
Yeah, I think on the Clemson D-line, and all four of those guys are going to be, you know, top two picks, I think at least. But Dexter Lawrence is the one guy, and I'm always going to go for the nose tackle who can fit in multiple defenses, who can defend against the run and flash a bit against the pass, who can eat up two guys in a full gap easily. I think those are always the guys I'm going to lean towards if you're asking for a guy I want to bet on. And I think for Lawrence, the exciting part is that there's so much more I think he can improve on from a year ago. And one of the really interesting parts about evaluating Clemson, I think Christian Wilkins, their other defensive tackle, comes up a lot on this, is sometimes you don't want to punish a guy for not being productive or getting the sack because another guy got there first. I think for Lawrence, the flashes are there of his ability to get penetration, along with the tremendous ability against the run and kind of to hold firm. I think he's the guy, if I had to say right now, the season ended like before he even starts, I think he's the guy I trust most. But certainly I think Clelin Ferrell has a great chance to be the first one drafted.
It's interesting to hear you say that, Eric, because I look at that group. I see the first three, Christian Wilkins, Clelin Ferrell, and Dexter Lawrence. I think those are the guys that I feel have a really good shot at the first two or three rounds. And Lawrence, you know, last year he was banged up, so the film wasn't always great with them. And you can kind of see how the injury kind of took its toll throughout the course of the year. The guy that I'm just enamored with and have been over the last couple of years is Christian Wilkins. He's shown position versatility. He's lined up and down the line for them throughout his career. He played out of position early on because of injuries at defensive end, and that's what honestly forced Clelin Ferrell into the lineup as a freshman. But you look at what he can do, and I think really for what teams are looking for on the interior in today's NFL, I think he can be a one-gap penetrator, a guy that can be a disruptor on the inside. And still, I don't think he's got it all quite together yet with his hands, but the flashes are just so good. I'm really, really excited about what this kid can be.
Yeah, the one thing I absolutely agree, I think that the fact that he played out of position, you know, sometimes, at least I've learned, it's almost a good thing when a guy's out of position, especially if he gets to that right position by the end, because, you know, playing out of position for a full season gives you so much, even, you know, left tackle versus right tackle, left tackle to go to guard. It matters so much because you're just using things that you haven't used before, and Wilkins certainly won't use a lot of those DN skills in the inside all the time, but I think that certainly helped him, especially in space. But, you know, watching Wilkins, I watched I was with a scout after the Senior Bowl before the combine, after Wilkins said he was staying in school, and he showed me a clip of all of the maybe half the plays that the tackles for losses and sacks he generated, and most of those plays were the product of other players, and I think that's one of the hard parts about, you know, kind of evaluating the Clemson guys as a whole and then individually, because, you know, individually they can look really impressive on film, but you watch them together and you wonder, hey, if Wilkins isn't going to have the benefit of playing in between these guys, you know, if he didn't have that on film, you know, I don't know for sure if he could still make the play, but it certainly helped that he did. And I think seeing Wilkins, as you mentioned, kind of put it all together, have that decisive first pass rush move, get to the quarterback, get to the running back, I think at times it's not always there. I think his ability to adapt and adjust is what's really impressive for him, too, is that even if he loses with his first move or first opportunity, he can still get there, and that's really impressive. But at the same time, you know, I think he is a bit helped, just like all those guys are, by great pressure and offensive lines being forced to worry about so many things. So I do wonder if he can prove that at all this year, if that's something the NFL teams will have to take a leap of faith on. But I think you're right. I think he fits exactly what NFL teams want, and a versatile defensive lineman who you can adjust his weight based on where he's going to play. If you want him at 290 or 310, he can play both of those probably. And I think a lot of the intriguing parts about Wilkins is that the unknown is a good thing as opposed to a bad thing for him.
And a lot of people will say disruption is production, and that's certainly the case, I think, with Wilkins, speaking about the ability to create for others at the up front along the defensive line. And I think you could say some similar things about a guy that I'm shocked, and we were talking about this with Jalen Jelks, Ross, last week with Jeff Schwartz. I'm shocked that Zach Allen isn't getting more pub right now from Boston College. I mean, he played on the opposite side of Harold Landry, and he was the big name, and everyone was focused in on Harold Landry last year. You look at Zach Allen, he's 6'4", he's over 280 pounds, he's got like a condor-like wingspan, he can line up inside, outside, they stood him up as a joker at times over the center, you know, he can defend the run really well, he holds up at the point of attack at a really high level, he's still coming along as a pass rusher, but I think that he can impact the game in so many different ways, and his ability to disrupt, I just find so intriguing. Have you seen Allen up close, and what are your takes overall on the kid from Boston College?
Yeah, you know, Jalen Jokes mentioned him. He's another guy that I'm very bullish on. I think he's, you know, he's not quite DeForest Buckner or Eric Armstead as far as those offensive linemen from Oregon. He's going to be really impressive. But we can talk about Zach Allen for a couple hours if you want. So I think he's a really impressive pass rusher. And he's a guy, you know, our grades come out in the preseason. And I talked to NFL teams about him, as many people as I know and work with. And he was a guy that preseason last year, before kind of his breakout this year, I said, this guy might be a second-round pick. And I think if he had declared for this draft, a few teams I spoke with said, oh, yeah, he would have been a first-round pick in this past year's draft. So I'm not sure if people are not aware of that yet. But I think I look at him and all the things he's done at Boston College last 2 years, plus the way he's built, the way he plays, I think he's identical in a lot of ways to Cam Jordan, who's been a great success, a guy who fell to the late first round but has become this kind of amorphous defensive end who can play a bunch of spots, you can stand him up, you can play him at five technique, just like Zach Allen's done at Boston College. But I think he's really impressive. Plus, you know, I've got a chance to speak with Zach Allen and his family briefly. He's a tremendously smart kid. He's well put together. He's got an NFL mindset, NFL body. All those boxes we're checking, as well as being productive. And, you know, I don't think it was close. I think by the second or third game of the year, you know, and granted, Harold Landry was hurt, but I think NFL or college offenses were far more worried about what Zach Allen can do than Harold Landry. And I think it was the Louisville game where he was pretty much unblockable the entire game. And I think that's the game where I said, not only is this guy going to be a good NFL player, this guy's a first-round pick all day.
And then one last defensive lineman I'll ask you about. I mentioned that, you know, last year, obviously, Harold Landry was the prospect at Boston College everyone talked about. I know that I was infatuated last year with Derek Nnadi from Florida State. He had a guy next to him, DeMarcus Christmas. I like Nnadi more. Christmas, a little bit of a different player, played a little bit more as a three technique. I do think he's probably better fit as more of like a one at the next level. What are your thoughts on Christmas? Have you done him yet?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of him, but probably back in February, March, when we first started our process, just because Florida State was a team that I had saw a lot on film during the season. But what I remember of Christmas, and forgive me for not having his report kind of mentally, I watched way too much Zach Allen clearly than DeVonta Christmas. but I think what Christmas showed is that his, you know, kind of similar to Wilkins in a lot of ways too, is that the flashes were there for him to play multiple spots on the defensive line. Christmas certainly more of an inside guy, nose tackle guy too. But what I remember of his report especially is that athletically, a guy that size with that kind of ability, I know preseason based off, you know, our work and our staff's work, he's a preseason second round guy. And I think a lot of that's because, you know, the unknown's a good thing. And I always kind of, you know, talk about that with our staff sometimes, is he a tweener or is he a neither guy? Can he play both spots or neither spot? And then I'd also, you know, this guy may have a lot of question marks, but are those good things or good bad problems to have? I think for Christmas, I know that he was a guy we had nutbarrow going into the season.
So the last guy I want to ask you about is a player that I actually haven't studied yet, but I've heard really good things about. And this program, NC State, has been churning players out at every position over the last few years. And I guess he's going to be Ryan Finley's number one target. I've heard comparisons to Julio Jones with Kelvin Harmon. And I haven't studied him, like I said, so I can't speak to that. But maybe you can. I don't know what your thoughts are on the big receiver from NC State.
Yeah, people at NC State, you know, do call him Julio. I'm not sure that's his official nickname, but I think he's up there. And I think the NC State offense is going to be fascinating because, you know, Finley's job was a lot easier a year ago with the versatile weapon that Talon Samuels was, and also Nyheim Hines being, you know, what should have been a top 100 pick and might be starting running back for the Colts in a few weeks into the season. That running game was a huge part of spreading teams horizontally, and that allowed Kelvin Harmon to attack on post routes in the middle of the field so well. But now Harmon's going to be really the face of the offense in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, what he offers is, as a quick note, he's not quite as explosive as Julio Jones, but a lot of things he does well reminds of Julio Jones. His ability to finish away from his frame and stay on balance on the perimeter and downfield is really, really impressive. Creates a super wide window for his quarterback, Ryan Finley, who's already accurate but can really make an inaccurate quarterback in the NFL look okay. He's outstanding off the line of scrimmage. That's one of the bigger things that I've cared more about in my evaluations the last few years, talking to position coaches for those outside receivers, because if you can't get off press, that's a whole year of NFL development you got to kind of get before they can trust you. And Kelvin Harmon, outstanding at getting off press, winning with hand separation. He's explosive enough to generate, you know, openings and as a route runner, but his ability to kind of explode off the line, win with an initial mover to get a cornerback off balance, which, you know, as a receiver, if you can get your cornerback off balance and you know where you're going, he doesn't know where you're going, that's a big play waiting to happen. So I think we'll see Kelvin Harmon. You know, I'm not sure where his production was. I'm not a big stat guy. I'm sure it'll be harder for him to generate a ton of production with the focus he'll get this year, but it'll be on Finley to get in the ball quite a bit. And I think we may see the same issues that Matt Ryan had with Julio Jones this year and getting the ball, maybe the same thing. But Harmon certainly is a less explosive, not going to be a top 10 pick, but he may be a first round receiver himself if he can play the way he's able to.
But man, that's all I got for you. I don't know, Ross, if you've got any other players you want to follow up on as well.
No, I think that's it, Eric. That was fantastic. Really, really appreciate the time. Always, thank you so much. Encourage people to check out Eric on Twitter. At Optimum Scouting is the Twitter handle. Doing an awesome job on multiple different levels. Eric, thanks so much for coming on.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks again.
Excellent stuff with Eric Galco, as always. Speaking of excellent stuff, by the way, I've told you guys about this on some of our other shows over at RossTucker.com, but I know some of you like to bet on college football games. Holy cow, you got to check out the BetQL app for all your wagering needs. The new app shows real-time line movement, public betting trends, and value picks of the day. And you can download the app pretty much anywhere. It's kind of cool because several of you have sent me, you know, your BetQL app downloads or your SquadQL app downloads. It's the app you need to get an edge over Vegas and the sportsbook to have access to all that real-time line movement, the trends, the value picks. Pretty darn awesome. We love giving you guys the skills and the mechanism to try to win when you're betting these college football games. So get the BetQL app. Find out exactly what the trends are so you have all the latest data and algorithms and all that stuff. Then go to BetOnline and actually place your bets. And we'll find out which players we should be placing our bets on. It's Daddy Soda time.
Daddy Sodas.
All right, Fran. Well, I asked Eric about Ryan Finley, but I want to get your thoughts as well as any other quarterbacks in the ACC we should be watching out for this year.
Yeah, I like Ryan Finley, and there are some people that would say that he might be the best senior quarterback, which is, you know, when you're talking about guys like Drew Locke and with Will Grier. I mean, there's some talented senior quarterbacks out there. Finley's a relatively big kid. He's 6'4". He's around 210 pounds. He transferred from Boise State. He actually went to NC State because his former offensive coordinator at Boise left the Broncos to go and join the Wolfpack, and that's Eli Drinkwitz. So he followed Eli Drinkwitz from Boise to NC State. And you can just tell watching him play that he's just got such a comfort in that scheme. You know, he's a timing and rhythm guy, like Eric said. He throws with anticipation. His touch is impressive. He's not going to wow you with his arm. His physical tools, I think, are just okay. But I think his mental processing is very good. I think his poise in the pocket is pretty impressive. He's got some authority before the snap. His decision-making is good. I mean, he's a facilitator in that offense. And I agree with Eric. I think with some of the turnover we've seen in the skill position rooms in that offense, it's going to be very interesting to see if Finley's able to help raise the level of play with some of the new guys they've got there on offense. It will be very fun to watch. But I like Ryan Finley. I tend to agree, though, with Eric, that I don't know that he's necessarily going to be, you know, considered a first or second round pick. I don't know that I'm looking at this guy saying, yeah, he's definitely going to be a starter, but he's an NFL quarterback. Like, he's going to play in the league. It's a matter of, you know, what level are we talking about? But I like Ryan Finley, and he's certainly one of my favorite quarterbacks that I've studied so far. The other seniors in the ACC that I would keep an eye on, Kelly Bryant from Clemson, who's going to enter his second year as the starter, and then Eric Dungy, who is captaining the Syracuse Orange. They were super productive last year throwing the football. I expect that to continue. I haven't studied Dungy, but the sense I get is that he's not necessarily going to be a big-time prospect, but certainly is on my watch list. And then underclassmen, we're going to see DeAndre Francois make his return after the injury that he suffered in week one last year against Alabama. He will come back. And then Daniel Jones from Duke. If you're coached by David Cutliffe, you're gonna get looks at the next level. So I would keep an eye on those four guys outside of Ryan Finley in the ACC.
What about running backs? Seems like there's always some good ACC running backs. I don't know that I know any guys really off the top of my head this year.
Yeah, the two biggest names, honestly, in the entire conference are true sophomores. Cam Akers is a former five-star recruit. I'm sure you probably saw him at you know, playing in high school level. He's going to be a true sophomore. The kid's really
explosive. He played in the Army Bowl. He played in the Army Bowl, yep.
I mean, he's a freak show, and so he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. DJ Dillon was really productive in that pro-style run game they've got up in Boston College. Travis Etienne is a true sophomore as well with Clemson. So those are really the biggest names. But I'll tell you what, I watched Jacquez Patrick from Florida State last week. I liked what I saw. I mean, he's a really big kid. He's over 6'2". He's 235, 240 pounds. You can just tell looking at him just line up. I mean, he's got really long arms. He's going to test really, really well in terms of the physical measurables, like, you know, height and speed and length. You know, I think that he's got, you know, those physical traits he can work with. He's probably the best pass protector that I've studied so far at the running back position. He's a really good blocker. He's able to win with strength and with technique and willingness at the point of contact. He's just not a great athlete. Like, he's a one-speed guy. He's not explosive. He's not a guy that's going to win with wiggle. He struggles to make people miss in that way. He will run through contact, but he's not going to shake anybody with the ball in his hands. And I mentioned he doesn't really have that speed to get to the perimeter. So, you know, you're talking about the physical dimensions. He's got it. But in terms of, you know, foot quickness and things like that, that's really where he's lacking. For that reason, I think he's more of a backup. But I liked watching him play. He's a guy that I'm really excited in terms of probably going into the year. He's going to be a top five senior back for me, but I can't imagine he's going to be more than a day three pick when it's all said and done.
Let's move on then, Fran, and talk about the wide receivers. There's a guy at Clemson that I think has been there for 25 years at this point in Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, Hunter Renfrow is a senior now. Yeah, he was catching touchdowns and making big plays his freshman year in national title games against Alabama. He's now a senior. He's a little bit undersized, 5'10 and change. You know, he's 185, 190 pounds soaking wet. You know, but he's the prototypical undersized slot receiver. You know, he's quicker than fast, pretty savvy route runner. He's reliable at the catch point. Not sure that he's going to be able to get off press coverage. Not sure he's going to be running by people at the next level on a consistent basis, but a very reliable target over the middle of the field for Clemson. And then you look at the rest of some of the players that, you know, we talked about Kelvin Harmon earlier with Eric, but like I watched Amon Richards from Miami, who's going to be a junior. He was really banged up this year, but he really burst onto the scene as a true freshman. I love this kid on film. Like, I think he's got all the tools to be a starting NFL wideout. He can play inside. He can play outside. His ability to track the football, I thought, was really, really impressive. You know, he's 6'1". He's 190 pounds. He's really competitive. He's awesome after the catch. He's quick. The injuries were an issue for him last year. I'd like to see him get a little bit more consistent overall. But Amon Richards, to me, was one of the more impressive players I've watched on film, regardless of position. So he's a guy I'm really excited about. As far as a senior, Olamide Zaccheaus is a Philly kid who's at Virginia now. And he's a pure slot guy. And honestly, he's been listed as a running back as well. But this, you're watching him this year, they definitely used him more as a slot receiver. He's under 5'9". He's 190 pounds. I don't think he's a burner, but he was a high school track kid. He went to St. Joe's Prep here in Philadelphia. To me, like, I think he can come into the league and be a nice little slot receiver and be able to return kicks for you as well. He needs to get a little bit better as a route runner. That's my number one concern with him. But after the catch, he's very good. At the catch point, he's very good. Change directions there. The tools are there for him to be a really good route runner. He's just got to continue to learn more of the nuance of that position. So those would be some of the receivers I'm excited about in the ACC, but there's a lot of guys. I mean, Jalen Smith is actually another player that I've watched from Louisville. I think he's probably a little bit overrated right now, but, you know, 6'2", he's over 225 pounds. He can go up and attack the football in the air and win in those contested situations. He's a big, strong kid. Athleticism is a little bit of a question. I don't know that he's a guy that's going to run by people either, and he needs to get a lot better as a route runner as well. But Nyquan Murray from Florida State, you know, Stephen Lewis from NC State, he's in there with Kelvin Harmon. Michael Walker from Boston College. TJ Romming from Duke is another big name. You look at the underclassmen, like North Carolina's got a return specialist, Anthony Ratliff-Williams, Greg Dortch as well from Wake Forest. I mean, it's a pretty good group in the ACC at the wide receiver position.
What about at tight end this year?
So Boston College has a kid, Tommy Sweeney. He's 6'5". He's just about 260 pounds. He was third team all ACC last year. He's a North Jersey kid. I watched him and I thought, yeah, he's it's kind of like Ryan Finley. Like, he's a pro tight end. Like, he's going to play in the league. Really, he's a good blocker. He gives really good effort at the point of attack, and he will get after it with defensive ends. he's not a high-level athlete, and he's not as savvy as a route. I need him to get better as a route runner. Like, that's the number one area where he needs to get better, considering his skill set, because there are athletic limitations there. He's not a 280-pound guy that's going to blow people off the ball either. So he needs to be a technician in everything that he does. He's not quite there yet, but I do think that he's going to play in the league. So he's been the one tight end that I've been able to study. A couple other seniors, though, Milan Richard from Clemson, and then Brandon Fritz from North Carolina.
O-line, baby, let's do it. I know you gave me several names, Fran. I was only able to check out one, and that is Mitch Hyatt from Clemson. I actually know Mitch a little bit from playing in the U.S. Army Bowl a few years ago. I'm a little surprised that he came back to school. I think I saw where Dabo Swinney said he would have been a second or third round pick, he was told. But Mitch Hyatt elected to come back to school. Yeah, it was interesting. Dabo Swinney went through all of his Clemson guys and what they were told by the underclass, you know, by the NFL, which is always kind of helpful, you know, to hear what those guys are told. And, you know, he, to me, it first of all, it's really impressive because he's been starting at left tackle since I think first game freshman year.
Yeah, which it's is like, really it's hard like, to do. It's like Hunter Renfrow. He's like the Hunter Renfrow, the offensive line.
Yeah, so first game true freshman offensive tackle, left tackle, really hard to do, which means he's played a lot of football. I mean, three straight college football playoffs, national championship game his first 2 years. He is a poor man's Jake Matthews to me, Fran, in the sense that he moves pretty well. I don't know that he moved quite as well as Jake Matthews did. But he's not a phenomenal athlete, but he's very efficient in his movement. He knows what he's doing. He's smart. He's good with his hands. He's a good athlete. To me, he looks like either a swing tackle or maybe a guy you move into guard. But he might be able to get it done at left tackle. I just don't think he's quite as polished as I saw from Jake Matthews. Or maybe a little bit less athletically and a little bit less power. Now, the other thing I would say, I forget sometimes, Fran, if that was evaluating Jake's senior video right before the draft or if it was Jake, you know, over the summer with his underclassman video. But that's who he reminded me of, was Jake Matthews, just not quite as good.
Well, I know you appreciate this because you love the little tidbits like this. When the Eagles drafted Josh Sweat this past April, I asked him, I did an interview with the website, and I asked him over the phone. I said, hey, you know, who's the best offensive lineman you face this year? And he said it was Mitch Hyatt. So that gives you a little something there. I think he's a grinder. I do like Mitch Hyatt a lot. The lineman that I studied is Chris Lindstrom from Boston College. He's got position versatility, both guard and tackle. I think he can offer that at the next level. I do think he's probably better off inside. He's a little bit on the shorter side. He does have pretty long arms, though, considering his height. I just look at his foot quickness, and I think he's probably better off inside. I think he's a technician. He uses his hands really well. He gets after people. He's got a good mindset. The athletic limitations worry me a little bit, though, when I watch him. Overall, though, I did like Chris Lindstrom. Some other players to keep an eye on. NC State's got a couple guys. Tyler Jones, who I've studied, I was a little bit underwhelmed with. Garrett Bradbury as well on the inside. Derek Kelly from Florida State, who actually he's the left tackle there, and he's flashed whenever I watch other players, and I say the left tackle, he's kind of got good feet. He can hold up a little bit with his anchor. So I'm excited to really dig into him. Alex Brookser from Pitt, Phil Haynes and Ryan Anderson from Wake Forest, and then Tyree St. Louis from Miami as well.
Okay, let's get to the D-line now. We talked about it, obviously, a lot with Eric. The Clemson D-line, I mean, it's got to be like the best D-line in college football ever, at least going into a season, the one with the most hype. I can't ever remember anything like it. You guys also talked about Zach Allen as well. What else needs to be said first about the inside guys, Fran?
I would agree with you. It's probably got the most hype. I think that when we look at Clemson, when we look at this foursome overall, and not to pour cold water on it or anything, I think Christian Wilkins is the real deal. Like, consistency, he's got to get better and things like that, but I think he's the real deal. Dexter Lawrence, I wonder, and we'll see when he's fully healthy, can he do enough as a pass rusher to warrant being taken in the top, you know, 20 picks? We saw Vita Vea go high. He went, 11th overall to Tampa Bay this year. I don't know that he's Vita Vea. So the question is going to become, you know, can he do enough on third down to warrant being a top selection? Cleveland Farrell. I watch Cleveland Farrell. I like Cleveland Farrell. I think there are some athletic limitations there. I think his strength is really against the run. I think he uses his hands well at the point of attack. I don't know that he's the most bendy, flexible, explosive guy off the ball. I don't know that he's got those traits. Those are the guys that typically go really, really high. Again, I like Cleveland Farrell. I think he's going to be an NFL player. I think he can probably start and be a starting player off the edge. But what is he at the next level, I wonder? And then Austin Bryant, I'm not sure if he's a starting player either. So I'm looking across, it's going to be interesting to see where these guys all fall. But it is a good group over. It's a good college defensive line without question. The other guy I think you got to keep an eye on, especially if we're going to start talking about edge guys, is Brian Burns from Florida State, who we talked about a little bit last year coming off his freshman year. Now he's going into his junior season. He's undersized. He's skinny. But this kid is freaky bendy. He's got a really explosive first step. He can line up standing up or with his hand in the dirt. I'm excited about what he can be. Joe Jackson is an underclassman from Miami as well that I haven't gotten to study, but I know a lot of people are high on. Trayvon Hill off the edge as well for Virginia Tech. Malik Carney's a junior from North Carolina. NC State's got another kid, Darian Roseboro. I don't know that he's going to be, you know, seen in the same way as some of these other NC State linemen have in the last couple of years, but I think that he's going to be drafted. And then Wyatt Ray from Boston College, he's going to step in there for Harold Landry as a full-time starter. Inside, Ricky Walker is a player that I've studied from Virginia Tech. I was a little bit underwhelmed with. And then it's Chris Slayton from Syracuse. Albert Huggins is the fifth guy for Clemson on the inside. He's another draftable prospect, a defensive tackle for them. And then Jalen Dalton from North Carolina.
What about on the edge, Fran?
Well, I just think the guys on the edge, I would say you look at Roseboro from NC State, Carney from North Carolina, and then Wyatt Ray from Boston College in the senior class. I think those are the guys to watch in the senior group.
So, question about Zach Allen. He's definitely an inside guy all the way.
I don't think people see him as a definite inside guy. I think that some people view him as an outside guy and some people view him as an inside guy. He's a DN for them in their 4-3. I just look at him and say, you know what, this guy's almost 6'4", 6'5". He's 285 pounds-ish. I think that he's going to, at the end of the day, he's either going to be a 5 technique or a 3-4, and he's going to be viewing him as a defensive tackle, or I think he's going to be a guy that maybe he lines up at D-end on base downs, but he's going to be doing most of his work, most of his production will come on the inside. So it's going to be, you know, like if he gets drafted for like Mike Zimmer or Marvin Lewis, those guys like their D-ends to be a little bit longer. You think like Carlos Dunlap and Michael Johnson, Everson Griffin, like those guys are all bigger, longer. He'll play DN for those teams, but I think a lot of people will view him more as an interior guy. It'll be interesting to see with him. He's going to be viewed as a pretty versatile guy.
They play Clemson November 10th, so one of the last games of the year for Boston College. I'm going to be looking forward to that and maybe even putting a few bucks on that one if I know I'm going to be watching the game to watch the O-line, the D-line for both of those teams. And if I do, of course, it'll be at betonline.ag. That's our go-to place for the lines, the odds, the wagers, you name it. We got a new partnership with them here at Podcast One Sportsnet. All the Podcast One podcasts that have anything to do with sports, yeah, we're all in on betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Just use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. Again, sign up at betonline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1, the number one. You want to bet baseball, you want to bet preseason football, or you want to just get ready for college football. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts with that code PODCAST1, the number one, to get that 50% sign-up bonus, which is awesome. Let's go off the ball, Fran, with the linebackers. Who you got?
Yeah, the guy that intrigues me most from the ACC is a guy who actually only has one start in his career, and it came as a safety back in 2014 as a true freshman. This is Jermaine Pratt from NC State. He was actually the fourth leading tackler for the Wolfpack last year, despite not starting a game. He played all 13 games as a backup for them in Dave Huxtable's 4-3 scheme. NC State's one of my favorite teams to watch, Ross, because from a schematic standpoint, they're very pro-style on defense. And so they're asked to do a lot of different things that I think a lot of NFL coaches think that can translate well to the next level. They play in a conference against some pro-style offenses. So you can see some of the things that they can do, and you can kind of go apples to apples with what they're going to do in the NFL. Jermaine Pratt is a big kid. He's 6'3". He's over 240 pounds. He's not exactly what I expected for a guy that was a former safety. I mean, he's kind of a thumper. He's a good run defender. He's really physical. I'd like to see him get a little bit better playing the ball in the air. Again, not what I expected for a guy that was a former safety, but this kid will come downhill. He'll hit you. He's a fast flow player. He's tough. He's smart. I'm excited to watch him really kind of step in as the starting linebacker there. They had three seniors ahead of him this year, so that's why he didn't really see any starts. But I think he's going to take over, probably be a team captain, and be that starting middle linebacker there for them. He's going to be a fun one to watch. So that would be the linebacker that I'm most excited to see in the ACC. As far as other guys, Kendall Joseph is an off-the-ball guy for Clemson. Chris Peace from Virginia. Ben Humphreys from Duke. Duke's actually got a couple guys that I think are worth looking at. Joe Giles Harris as well is an underclassman. Miami's got that trio of guys. And we remember when they started all as freshmen, we said, oh, we're going to be talking about these guys in a year. Now they're going to be juniors, so they're going to be draft eligible this year. Shaq Quarterman, Michael Pinckney, and Zach McLeod. Trey Lamar from Clemson as well to go with Kendall Joseph. So they've got a nice duo there. And then lastly, Olu Adewu from Pitt is another guy that's on my watch list from the senior class.
Corners in the ACC, Fran?
Yeah, I've only gotten a chance to watch one, and everybody's really hyping up Levante Taylor from Florida State, so I am excited to kind of dig into his film. But Michael Jackson from Miami is the one that I've watched, and honestly, Ross, I think he's my favorite corner in the senior class, and the senior class isn't really deep in terms of the cornerback spot. It was kind of like it was last year, where there are not a lot of really talented players at the high end of it, but you look at Michael Jackson, I think he's listed 6'2". He's over 200 pounds. I mean, he's a big kid. He's got long arms, really instinctive. You know, he's got really good ball skills as well. That'll carry him a long way. If you've got size and instincts and ball skills, you're going to play in the league. I wish he played more to his size, and I do want to see more reps of him being challenged vertically. I didn't know that I'm not sure where his speed will lie here at the next level. But I think he's got intriguing tools to work with. I see his ceiling as a strong starter outside for a team that values size, with a floor as like a matchup dime player in the slot. Like, I think he's going to play in the league. It's just a matter of what his role will be. If he goes to a team that values size and the ability to be physical on the outside, I think he's got a shot to start out there. So he's going to be a really intriguing player that's at the top of my watch list moving into the season in terms of the senior class at the cornerback spot. As far as other players on the outside, I mentioned Levante Taylor from Florida State. He's an underclassman. Clemson's got a couple of kids, as they always do. There's the junior, Trayvon Mullen, the senior, Mark Fields. Duke has a kid in Mark Gilbert that I'm going to be watching. Malik Young is Michael Jackson's teammate with the Hurricanes. And then Asang Bassi from Wake Forest as well is on my watch list. He's an underclassman.
And then finally, Fran, how about the safeties?
Yeah, the one guy that I've studied, and I've actually studied him the last two off seasons, is Juan Thornhill from Virginia. He's under 6'1". He's 215 pounds. He was a high school quarterback and safety who ended up playing corner throughout most of his career. He was supposed to play safety last year, and then injuries late in the preseason for them forced him back to corner. I think he is going to play safety. Either way, I think at the next level he's going to play safety. He's a fun player. I think that he's got starting traits. He's long, he's lanky, he's got corner skills with free safety athleticism. I'm anxious to really see his transition this year to safety. But, Ross, you remember a couple years ago, I loved Eddie Jackson from Alabama. Like, I was all in. I thought he was a top 50 type pick. He ended up going in the fourth round, I think partly due to his injury. But I was really high on him, and he's turned into a nice starting player for the Chicago Bears. He reminds me of Eddie Jackson, the way that he's built, the way that he moves, the way that he's able to play the ball in the air. I thought he flashed against the run, but he'll see it from a completely different angle this year as a senior. He's got the potential to be very, very good. I just want to see a little bit more, especially at the safety spot, from him. I think he could rise and be in that top 50, top 60 talk. If not, I'm going to be comparing him to Eddie Jackson all year long and saying that this kid's going to be a day three sleeper. So Juan Thornhill from Virginia is the name that I'm most excited about in the ACC. But there are a couple other guys. I mean, Jaquan Johnson from Miami is a guy that's getting a lot of first-round buzz in the senior class. His teammate, Sheldrick Redwine, as well. is right there with them. Boston College has another duo as well in the senior class, Lucas Dennis and Will Harris, two guys that people really like, Jamon Reynolds from Virginia Tech. And then one last guy, when I was watching Tremaine Edmonds last year, and it was in the Pitt game, watching against Pitt, I remember a safety playing in the middle of the field, flashed from the outside of the sideline, made a play outside the numbers, and I said, okay, I got to write this guy down. That was Reggie Floyd. So he's on my watch list as well, the free safety from Pitt.
Well, my watch list for next week I haven't gotten yet because you got to send me the O lineman in the SEC that I should check out. Very excited. We usually always save the best for last, and usually the SEC has the most prospects. I mean, heck, Alabama has 4 or 5 first-round kids every year. Is this year any different, Fran, or they have another 4 or 5 first-round kids?
Yeah, they always have 4 or 5 first-round kids. I just did their defense. Like, the front seven, Ross, took me, like, a weekend. Like, it was like I had to, like, put everything aside and say, okay, I'm going to watch their D-line and their linebackers now. But I did get them done, so I'll be ready to talk about them next week.
Then you got your guy Damian Harris, a running back, Jonah Williams at left tackle. So I know we've got a bunch of guys to work with next week. Can't tell you guys how much we appreciate when you give us a retweet of the show at FDuffy3 or at RTF Podcast or me at Ross Tucker NFL, or even a like on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. It means quite a bit. And if you ever want to ask Fran a specific question about evaluating a specific position or a player that you like for your college football team and you're curious as to what type of prospect he is, let us know. Take advantage of any of the sponsors over at RossTucker.com or BetQL or BetOnline, the ones you hear actually on the show, or just rate and review the show, which we love. Take a screenshot, send it to me, and we'll hook you up that way as well. Lots of different ways that you can contribute and also get your question asked here on the College Draft Podcast. It's SEC, baby, our final conference preview coming up next week. Should be awesome. For right now, though, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.